On behalf of the Northeast congregation, we welcome you, as has already been stated by Chad this morning. Glad that you are here and encourage you to come back every opportunity that you have. Here at Northeast, we are a congregation that has as a priority and our mission, our purpose statement says we exist to love God, to grow deeper, and to share Jesus with others. So if you're a Northeast member and somebody ever comes up to you and says, hey, what are y'all about at Northeast? What's important to you? Those three things are priorities for us. And we try to do everything. And that's part of what Noah has been talking about the last several weeks, is we've been talking about our core values, and we'll be talking about those in just a minute. But first of all, I want to mention a couple of things. Number one, you may notice that over here in this section this morning, we just have one lone teenager over there. And Landon, we're glad you're here. And he just looks kind of lonely. Somebody come up here and sit with him. He wasn't able to go on the trip to Gatlinburg with other teenagers, and that's why he is here alone. I didn't mean to embarrass you. I'm sorry. You're okay. Okay. And they'll be coming back tomorrow, so pray for our teenagers and their chaperones, including Nick and Noah, and I think the Dixons are down there as well. So I'm preaching today. I'm happy to be doing it. My name is Grady Smith. I am one of the ministers here at Northeast, and Noah will be back in the pulpit next week. I want to also mention as well this morning that Ashley Wald wants to make Northeast her home church. Some of you have met her and met her children. She is Teresa Wade's daughter, and her children are Annalise and Piper and Lilith, and Luca is a little baby. So are you impressed that I remember that? I can probably name all the adults who attend here at Northeast, but years ago I gave up trying to remember all the names of all the kids, and I'm sorry about that. I know I should care more, but but Jeannie knows the names of all the kids, so if I have to lean out, and she's out of town today too, but it is just really good to see you with us here this morning. We welcome Ashley, and we're just grateful to be a part of this family. Now, I have another picture to show you this morning, and that is this, and it comes from this book, and let me tell you just a little bit about the background of this picture. This past Christmas, we got a card from some folks we know down in Tennessee, and he was an elder. This man right here was an elder at the church where I was a youth minister back in my college days at the Greenbrier Church of Christ. And his name is Jim Oran, and he and his wife Shirley, they are still living. They're on up in years, but still remain engaged and pretty vibrant in the life of the church and in the life of their family. But when I was a youth minister down at Greenbrier, this is back in probably, let me see, this is probably 1981 that this picture was taken. I was a youth minister at Greenbrier, and that's me right there. Yeah, that thick head of brown hair. And I always wondered, so this picture was taken, they were doing, he worked at 20th Century Christian bookstore, and they were doing a cover for a book called A Father Talks to His Teenagers by P.D. Wilmoth. And they say, we need a picture for the cover of this book. And so we hit the big time. As a young person, I'm on the cover of a book. And there's Jeannie right there. There she is. And you notice she has her hand on the shoulder of this guy right here. He was in my wedding. She was in our wedding. And half of these kids aren't teenagers. But the only reason I show you that picture is because I was reminded when they sent their Christmas card, and I knew I was going to be talking about hospitality, that they at a very pretty young, impressionable age, really made an impression on us in terms of hospitality. And they had this regular Sunday routine at their house, and she fixed one of these meals. I'm not saying it looked exactly like this, but you remember dinner at grandma's house, don't you? And you remember those Sunday dinners and what they looked like and how good they were and how much it meant to Jeannie and myself to have a standing invitation with the Orans every Sunday. They said, now, if you have somewhere to go for lunch, if you have plans, whatever, but just we want you to know that you can come to our house every Sunday for dinner, and they would just invite anybody who wanted to come. And there were a few times, being the tired college student that I was, they let me go in the back, one of the back bedrooms, and take a nap. And so that is how comfortable I felt in their home and with their hospitality. And that's what we're talking about today. And so we've been talking about our core values here at Northeast. You can go to our website and you can see these things listed. We have as our mission, our purpose, to love God and grow deeper and share Jesus. And flowing from that are these core values that should shape and provide direction for everything that we do here as a congregation. And so we started with that first priority as love for God, our first core value. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, a biblical focus. We want to be people who go to the Word of God, dig into the Word of God, understand the Word of God, because we believe God's word is just that, inspired by God and His instruction for us. We want to be people who practice what we preach. And while we understand that none of us measures up to that perfect model of Jesus, and we fall short, that is what we aim for. Because we want to live consistently with what we claim. Leadership is important to this church. And so we want to do our best to develop leaders, to follow leadership as they lead us in the ways of Jesus. And we want to recognize that we are a church that's very different in a lot of ways. We don't have the same backgrounds. We don't have the same interests. We don't have the same cultural background or racial background. Or we have different jobs. We're blue collar, white collar, black, white. We're different. But in those differences, we are still one in Jesus, because the main thing is the main thing to us, and that main thing is Jesus. And He brings us together. And He's the one that binds us together. Last week, Noah talked about striving for doing our best as we worship, and the planning and how we carry it out, because it makes a difference. And so today, that seventh core value that we're going to talk about is this idea of hospitality. So what comes to your mind when you think of the idea of hospitality? What's the first thing that pops into your head? Well, it may be you think of the hospitality industry. And so you think of maybe your experience at a restaurant or a hotel, or you go to a resort and they are practicing hospitality on some level to you. And I bet you there are some of you who probably have some horror stories too, do you not? About some place you went to and you saw the pictures of that Airbnb and it looked so great, and then we got there and it was like, ugh, you know? But this is what you want. Ideally, this is what you want in the hospitality industry. I know some of you remember those old Motel 6 commercials with that homespun music. And then what did Tom Baudet say with that kind of that homespun, down-to-earth kind of voice? You know, we'll leave the light on for you. We want you to feel, even though you're not at one of those expensive places, you can still come and stay at a place, a clean, comfortable room at about half the price of the other national chains. That's what he'd say. But most of us, The first thing that comes to our mind when we are thinking about this idea of hospitality is we think of this, and usually we think about it in the context of what we do around the kitchen table. And so we have events, and we use the term, and we entertain, and we go to somebody's house, and they prepare things for us. How many of you went to a Super Bowl party last week? Raise your hand. Okay. So we don't have very sociable people here. three people. Did somebody not have a Super Bowl party? But if you've been to a party like that, you know how it goes. It makes an impression on you when somebody goes to the trouble and takes the time to do something at home to prepare. You know, a lot of work and effort goes into it if you're engaged in hospitality yourself. And so what I wanted to do before we get into some of these passages is look at a couple of quotes related to hospitality. And I love this quote. I found it as I was preparing for my lesson. And this is from Eleanor Roosevelt. "True hospitality consists in giving the best of yourself to your guests." And I really love that. That's a great statement. So it's not just about the preparations or the table or the meal or a clean, comfortable bed. It's about giving yourself. Hospitality is about giving your heart, and it's reflected in the things that you do. How do you like this one? And it's a little fuzzy, but I love this statement. Hospitality, making your guests feel like they're at home, even if you wish they were. Kind of like in the vacation movies, and you know, there's Cousin Eddie. Yeah, if you're familiar with that vacation movies. And it's like, oh great, Cousin Eddie's here. And you may have had a situation where maybe somebody's like worn out their welcome a little bit. You know, it's, we love you, but it's time to move on. Jeannie accused me one time of us having guests over and saying something to the effect, "Well, I'm going to bed. I don't know what y'all are gonna do." But So, and what about this one? I don't know why I chose that. It just caught my eye. Make yourself at home, clean my kitchen. And so we want our people to feel at home. And so maybe the next time you invite guests over, just have them do some chores around their house. And say, I want you to feel like I feel when I'm at home. So I want you to do some work for me. But you know, literally here, the basic root meaning of the term hospitality as it's found in the New Testament, philoxenia, is the love of strangers. That's in all the passages, and we're going to look at some of those in just a few minutes. The basic idea is the love of those who are aliens or strangers or folks who are unknown to you. And that it was very important, not just in the New Testament. You go to the Old Testament, that principle of hospitality, the idea of being concerned about those who are outsiders or aliens or strangers, a definite priority in the Old Testament. In fact, in those passages in the Old Testament where God instructs his people to be kind and considerate to those who are aliens, those who are, for example, from foreign lands, in the passages that deal with that, he reminds them, at one time you were strangers. You were aliens yourselves when you were in captivity in Egypt, and you were in a place where in a lot of ways you didn't belong, and it was strange to you, and you experienced that, and you need to remember that now in how you treat others as well. So Old Testament and New Testament. And so there is this passage that says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. And in my mind, I really do think the Hebrew writer here is just thinking back to that occasion in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 18, you remember when those three visitors came to the home of Abraham and Sarah. And I don't have time to get into all the nuances of that story this morning. But those were divine visitors to the home of Abraham. And one of those, if you look closely at the text, one of those guests was a theophany of God himself. So it is God in human form, like he was in the garden. On some occasions he showed up like that. He was one of the guests in Genesis 18, along with a couple of other angels. And Abraham initially was not aware of that, but he is compelled, motivated to do something to provide some hospitality for these visitors. And so you can read it for yourself there in Genesis 18. He goes and kills a calf. He says, go make sure these people have plenty of water. We're going to take care of them. And so the Hebrew writer, I believe in reference to that story, says you need to show hospitality to those who are strangers, because in the past people have entertained angels and they didn't even know it. And I think he's thinking about Abraham perhaps here, but that's an important point. And so when John writes to Gaius, his dear friend, in 3 John chapter 1, he says, dear friend, you're faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they're strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. We ought to therefore show hospitality to such people. Historical context of this passage is there would be travelers in the first century, brothers and sisters in Christ, and there would be a special application to those who were traveling preachers or traveling evangelists back in this day. And John is reminding Gaius of the importance of caring for these people as they travel. There weren't hotels all over the place, and especially if you look at ancient Palestine, that was not the case. And then this third passage here, and I told myself as I was preparing my lesson, I didn't want to get off on a big tangent with this passage, because for some of you, I may just blow your mind with what I'm getting ready to tell you. Now, see, that got your attention, didn't it? And then if I say something that doesn't blow your mind, you're going to be disappointed. The common conception based on what we read in the New Testament, but especially what has been passed down to us in tradition and lore and songs, is that Jesus was born in a barn or a cave. A lot of us think that. We sing that in the songs. And that's all totally based on, from the text, this one passage that says, Mary and Joseph, they went to Bethlehem for the census. There would be a lot of people traveling there. And when they got there, the story in our minds is they go to the Bethlehem Bed and Breakfast, which is all booked up. And then they just wander around till they find some random barn or cave. And then they plop down there and they wait. The text says they waited a period of time before she gave birth. So they stayed there a week or two in that cave or that barn. And all by themselves, maybe Joseph delivered the baby, and that's how that happened. And that's a lot. All that is based on this, say they placed him in a manger. But just very quickly, and I promised myself I wouldn't get off on a tangent here, but this is a good teaching moment this morning. A manger is a feeding trough. And if you look historically back in this day at what a common house might have in Bethlehem or other places in this day, there would be a place on that lower level, maybe a little lower down, where you would bring in overnight, if the weather was bad or the circumstances warranted it, domesticated animals that could stay inside but would also go outside. So you might have a sheep or a cow or something like that. And there would be space in the home. It would be kind of separated from the living area where all the cooking was done and some of the sleeping was done. And then in one of these typical homes, you might have an upper room that would be a guest chamber. Like's described where Jesus and the others prepare the Lord's Supper, and they're in an upper room that was in a home. And so actually, it's really not a good translation to translate that as inn, because that has connotations for us, like it was a bed and breakfast or a hotel or something like that. But this is a better translation, a guest room. So my contention is, and I hope the elders, don't keep me from the pulpit, you know, from here on out for saying this, but I believe Jesus was born in a home. That he wasn't just in, Joseph and Mary, they weren't in the guest room, in the room that would have been reserved for guests. And so for the census, all the people traveling, you would go to an area, you would stay with members of your family. They were members of the house of David. And I believe they're at a relative's home, but just because things are so crowded, they're down on the lower level. And next to that lower level would have been a place in many of the homes where you would have a feeding trough and you would bring in maybe one or two animals at night to protect them from the cold. To me, that seems like a more reasonable explanation, especially considering how important hospitality was in this day, that Jesus, now still humble circumstances, you know, still being laid in a feeding trough, but I believe, to me, this is a story about hospitality extended to Mary and Joseph. You know, agree or disagree with me. They just weren't in the guest room. And they were down there at the lower level. But hospitality was extended for them. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So in the context of hospitality, and this is from our reading this morning, the point is being made that the idea of hospitality also carries with it this idea of sharing and sharing with those in need. And so back in this day, the early church, it's talked about in the book of Jude, they would have something they called their love feasts. And they would gather, they would come together, they would share food. And those who were poor and didn't have as much as others could benefit in that generous hospitality shown by others in those kinds of contexts. And it's illustrated by the story that Jesus makes about the parable he tells about the friend at midnight. You remember the story? And the lesson relates to prayer. But Jesus is talking about persistence in prayer, and he gives a story of a man who goes to his neighbor's house at midnight, yelling through the window, waking up his kids and his family, disrupting things, saying, "I have a guest. And they just came, and I don't have enough food. I need you to give me some food." And it's a lesson ultimately about the persistence in prayer, but still the point is made. It reflects the culture of that day and the importance of providing hospitality to those who are in need. And then this last one here I want to look at, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. It's not always easy to show and practice hospitality. Sometimes we're stretched a little bit. Sometimes we might be inconvenienced a little bit. And I recognize that some of us are more gifted in this area than others. I mentioned, if I were to mention to some of you this morning, hey, you need to go home. You're going to have 20 people coming over tonight. You need to get things ready. You think, ho-hum, no big deal. I can do it. You know, we have members, I think of people that come to mind, people like the Prices or the Headleys or, you know, Chad and Karen Reba with our young adults. Those folks, they just open up their homes and they do it all the time and they invite people in. They don't think anything about it. But let's be honest, some of you, the prospects of doing that, it sends you into cold chills and makes you feel uncomfortable, doesn't it? Preparing things at home for others. And so it is not saying that we all have to practice hospitality in exactly the same way. All I'm asking you is to think a little bit, and we'll talk about the application of the church quickly here in just a minute, is how you can use your home to practice hospitality. And so if it initially is maybe signing up for food and fellowship and maybe taking one time during the summer to invite others into your home, you've never done it before, It stretches you a little bit. And maybe some of you might be able to invite neighbors into your home and do something along those lines. But I want you to think about how you might grow and stretch in this area. But I want to focus on this the last few minutes here. And that is how we practice hospitality at Northeast, at our home, our church home. And I understand that this is not the temple. It's not the house of God in the sense that it was used in the Old Testament in those terms. But this is still our place. And God is bringing people to us. We have people here today who are guests with us. And we are glad that you're here. How are we doing with hospitality here at Northeast? Well, this is what you find on our core values. This is how the seventh core value is described. You go to the website and other places and see it. We create an atmosphere which grows from our love for God and others that is sensitive and helpful to seekers who are exploring next steps in their faith journey. And we welcome all guests with open arms. So we want to be a place where people feel comfortable and welcome when they come here. And so here's a church sign that kind of describes maybe an angle on that. Try our new pumpkin spice sermons. Okay, not really, but stop in. We don't bite. And the thought occurred to me, wouldn't that be maybe that ought to be one of our mottos, you know. Come visit us, we don't bite. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to do that. But we want people to understand. We want them to feel, not feel threatened when they come here, not to feel too uncomfortable when they come. We want them to feel at home when they come here. Now, I know some of you aren't going to remember Ira North. But he was the big time when I was down at school at Lipscomb. He came and spoke at chapel. Was a preacher at the Madison Church of Christ down there in Tennessee. They had what they called the feeding of the 5,000. They would have a big potluck outside, and they would invite the community to it. They called, you know, it, so they were. But Ira North just personified just the welcoming, and that's one reason that church grew. But one of the things he used to say is, here at Madison, it is the end of your search for a friendly church. Now, how do you like that? Should we say that from the pulpit here at Northeast? Now, maybe we should, but here's the risk. You say that and you claim that and you're not a friendly church, that's even going to make it worse, right? You don't want to make that claim unless you're a friendly, welcoming church. And so we need to be reminded that not everybody is as comfortable here as we are. How do you feel when you're in a new situation? Even if you're a member of the Church of Christ and you're visiting another Church of Christ, sometimes you feel a little awkward and you just don't feel comfortable. Can you imagine what somebody might feel like when they come here and they're totally unfamiliar with us? Maybe they have a different religious background. Maybe they don't have hardly any religious background at all. And they're coming into this and watching and observing what we do. And I'm not saying, obviously, we don't change anything that we're doing and being biblical, but we need to understand that not everybody is where we are in our comfort level. And it's important to understand that. You and I, we sing songs about being washed in the blood. But there are some people out there and some people who might come here. It's like, man, this sounds really, really strange. Or singing about God holding the germ within his hand that we sang last week. What is that? I don't know if I fully understand that one. Or Night with Ebon Pinion Brooded O'er the Veil. Here I Raise My Ebenezer. There are things that we sing that maybe we don't even understand. And just have to know that some people are at a different place than we are in this whole thing. So I'm going to ask Chad to come up here in just a second, but I want to quickly, and we'll go a little longer than normal this morning. We want to be hospitable to you. We want to make you feel at home. And folks know that when I preach, maybe I go over a little bit than what Noah does. But that's okay, right? We want you to feel at home. But anyway, Tom Rainer, who is an expert in reaching out to the unchurched and guests, gives the top 10 reasons visitors don't return to a church. And And those top 10 are this: an awkward meet and greet. We used to do that, but we quit doing it because everybody said, you don't ask people to stand up and greet others. It makes your guests feel awkward, and it kind of points them out. And what you definitely don't want to do, have you ever been to one of those churches that says, are you a guest here? We want you all to stand up so we can all look at you, right? And then some churches changed that and said, if you're a member here, stand up. If you're a guest, remain seated. And then you have all these members looking down on you, down at the pew. You know, they say don't do that. Unfriendly members, just folks who are not friendly. Unsafe children's areas. Unable to find information. Bad church website. And that will affect sometimes if a person comes for that first time. If you have a bad website, people will just look at that. And if it's crummy and outdated, and a lot of times they won't consider. Poor signage. I'm thankful we're at a better place now here at Northeast with our signage, because years ago, before people with eyes to see that we weren't seeing, said, where does anybody know where to go here? Just one long place. You might look out to find somebody to tell you where to go. Insider church language. And once again, we take the Lord's Supper. There's spiritual elements to that people might not understand. But to use acronyms and other things that don't connect, folks don't understand it. Uninspiring worship is another one. And I love number 9. You're in the wrong seat. That does happen. Church members will tell guests, you're sitting in my pew or my spot. Please get up. That's really welcoming, folks. And then dirty and unclean facilities. So I'm going to ask Chad to come up, if you would, real quick. We're going to have a 5-minute conversation. And I just want you to get to know Chad a little bit better. Chad is our deacon over hospitality. He used to work with a group called Zacchaeus Group, and that group worked on reaching out to guests and making guests feel welcome. A lot of the things we're doing now are a result of that work in ministry. It is grown now to expand several other things. Appreciate what you do. Why do you have such a passion for guests?
Did I have this on, Will? Am I good? No, I flipped it the wrong way. How about there? There we go.
Here, let's do this.
There we go. It's on now.
Yeah, it works.
We good now, Will? I told you, I can't figure out the button, so that's my fault. No, it's a great question. I've always had a soft spot in my heart when you see somebody come in and they have that lost look. Even back when I was in high school, I can remember we had guests, you know, in a teen group or whatever, just always reached out to them. We honeymooned over in Italy, and everywhere we went was wonderful. People spoke English. We didn't have any trouble, except we were trying to get to Rome. And we could see in the train station, all the signs were in, you know, 100% Italian. Couldn't find anybody spoke
right.
English.
Right.
And we could see that there was a train, and it said Roma, and it was red, and there were trains everywhere, and we couldn't figure out where we were supposed to be. And we were about to get left, and we didn't know what we were going to do.
Yeah, it's frightening.
It's horrible. And I went to the person and tried to explain, and she said some stuff in Italian and pointed at the screen really, really a lot. why aren't you understanding this? And it's kind of that feeling of, you know, nobody likes to be in a spot where you feel like everybody else around you knows where they're going, and you don't.
Right.
You feel like you stick out. So I've always had a soft spot in my heart. I love to reach out to people. And it's interesting, too. You can reach out to people, and you don't have to connect perfectly with everybody. You pretty quickly see them go connect with somebody else, and that's always really, it warms my heart.
Yeah. I love that passion in you. And one thing that we do after worship on Sunday, and we're communicating on Monday, we talk about y'all, you know, those of you who are guests, and we communicate, you know, who was here, how can we follow up, that sort of thing. But it's because we want to connect in an effective way with those who are
intentional.
So Rainer's list, it's not up there anymore. But anything jump out at you in Rainer's?
You hit the big one, which was, hey, everybody that feels uncomfortable, please stand up and let's make you more uncomfortable. We've did that for, you know, all of us that are a little bit older remember
right.
doing that. It's horrible. But the one that hits me is, you know, you mentioned your home and being clean and those kinds of things. When you have guests to your home or you think about going into somebody's home, you're not necessarily looking for how expensive their house is or how big their house is or anything like that, but you do notice if it's well kept. And so just taking pride in your home, in your own home, is a big deal. And so we like to take pride here. I mentioned earlier the work days and things. Those are just things we come together to do. There are people up here working all the time.
Right.
They're making things better all the time. If you haven't noticed, we have a new door over here. Those that haven't been in here may not know that's brand new. We've been complaining about that corner since I've been here 20 years.
Yeah.
So people are always doing things. So I think just working and making things look nice, even if it's old and used, is still important.
Great point. And even if it's a little thing, those little things add up, and we may think they're kind of shallow. You know, why would somebody not come back? You know, they're supposed to be concerned about spiritual things. But, you know, first impressions are important. And sometimes with some people, we have one shot. Mm-hmm. And so while it may not seem like a big deal to have a trash can that's sitting somewhere with trash to the top of it falling over, which is a discussion we've had here, it's something that
people
matters.
Notice. Yeah, people
that,
notice.
That people do notice. So, if you were going to encourage this group, folks who are members at Northeast, to get involved in hospitality, what are some ways that someone could get involved in hospitality?
Yeah, there's a couple of big points. You know, one thing is we've come through this time of COVID, right? So there was a time where things were different, and we're now waking back up from those times. And so just getting more engaged and more active and everybody being involved in hospitality, I think, is incredibly important. I tell people when I meet you, I've met some of you many, many times, right? Looking at some people in particular that I have met many times in the past. I'm not afraid to meet people multiple times, and I would encourage you to be the same. It's embarrassing. When you say, I know we talked, but I can't remember the, oh yeah, I got it. But it's way better to do that than to walk by somebody you've never met. Mm-hmm. And in this body in particular, in this chamber, I think that's important. So that's the one thing, is don't be afraid to meet people more than once. We all struggle with names. Grady is, you know, he's talking nice about me, but Grady's one of the best at doing this and knowing people and ministering to people that I've ever been around. Has done a great job for many, many years and a career of it. So I appreciate that. The other thing is just get involved with the hospitality ministry. Each week you all come through that door and you see somebody that's standing there opening the door and greeting you. All that's required is, you know, I say stand up, but you don't necessarily have to be able to stand up. But to be able to man that door or woman that door, as the case may be, and to smile and shake somebody's hand and just welcome them into the building, that's incredibly important. That smile is a big change on the way somebody's day may be going. So if you're interested in doing that, we do have ways to get involved. Certainly reach out to me or the office, and we can put you on that list. It's easy to do. It's not a lot of effort, and it would mean a lot to the kingdom and to particularly guests that are coming for the first time.
Ushers, greeters,
people
who are on that team. Chad, we appreciate you, and we appreciate what you're doing. It's an important, vital ministry, and it is certainly very biblical. So thank you, Chad.
Appreciate it.
For talking a minute with us. So I'm going to close out by just making this point, and that is asking you this question: what's your next step? And so I'm just asking you to think about what you might do that you're not already doing right now that can help us in this work, in this ministry of building hospitality within our church and to those outside the church. And like I said, it may be signing up for a food and fellowship group this summer, or it might be talking to Chad and say, yeah, I'd be interested in being an usher or being a greeter. What's involved in that? What are some other ways I can get involved in that? And the final point that I'm going to make this morning is this. I love this verse, and I love the translation. This is not the NIV, and I'll tell you quite frankly, I forget what version this is, but it's one of the legitimate translations. It says, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And there's so many different angles on what it means to welcome others. And so don't forget that what we're doing in welcoming and asking people to consider Jesus and trying to make a good impression, not in a shallow sort of way, but in a caring, comfort way, to remind people that ultimately it's Jesus who welcomes them. We're trying to get people connected to Jesus. And so you may be one of those people who you know, you believe you're there, you just haven't taken that step yet to fully commit your life to Jesus and be baptized into him. We want to help you in that way as well. We want to practice hospitality and helping you take that step or another step in your faith journey, in your walk in Jesus. It may be that you want to become an active part of the congregation here at Northeast. It may be, the next step may be, I'm just struggling right now, and maybe you just need to pray. We have a prayer room right back here that our shepherds will spend time after the service and meet with you and pray with you if you have some need or burden on your heart. We just want to partner with you as effectively as we can in this journey in the kingdom. And as we do that, let's keep in mind our core values, the things that are most important to us. And God will use those in our church to help us be everything he calls us to be. So we're going to sing a song now. We welcome you. If you have a special need, please let us know whatever that need may be. Let's stand and sing.